So the first time I walked up those stairs, I knew that I was home. Scott Coulter was playing the piano, and I just cried. And I cried through the whole service, and I hope I don't do that today. And I knew I was home. It was a feeling, it was a sensation throughout my whole body. And I kept coming back. And although I didn't cry every time I walked in, I cried every service for a very long time. But what kept me coming back was the message, was what I heard here and what I started to believe here. And the basis of that message are the five principles and everything within those five. Everything we talk about here is within those five principles. And in my research this week, I was even realizing, like, even the 12 powers is seeped in the five principles. And it was like so grounding for me and so uplifting at the same time. It was such a gift. So it's also what Michael Beckwith calls, it's ancient wisdom, yet new thought. We call it new thought, but it's been around forever. You know, this belief, this knowing that God is within each and every one of us, and that our words create our reality, and that we have that power within us, just like that song just said. So, you know, growing up, I thought of God as a person outside of me, a being outside of me, and I prayed to that being. That's what I was taught. But now what helps me to, because sometimes I still catch myself seeing God as a person, and I don't know, I don't believe God is a person anymore. And what helps me now is to remember that these are principles and laws. They aren't rules that somebody has put upon us. And like many other principles and laws, like the law of electricity, right? We don't know it. Like I don't know it. I just know when I go to hit a switch, the lights are going to go on. And somehow Ben Franklin was able to capture that law, which has always been in existence, always. And gravity has always been in existence. So these new laws about God and about consciousness are just laws that we are here practicing and learning to practice and learning to, at least for me anyway, to try to count on them as much as I count on when I turn on a light switch. It goes on. When I think of principles, it helps me to not see God as a person. So the first two principles, they go together and are the philosophical underpinnings of our teachings. So the first one is, there's only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. So other ways of saying this is, God is infinite. God is always here and is all there is. God is absolute good, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Now, we first must understand God is everything and our connection to and with that truth. When we look at the Bible, we see it as a book of teaching, and it's throughout the whole book that God is everywhere. Now, we interpret the Bible to go beyond the words. That's what metaphysical is to go beyond the words, to go beyond the physical of what we're seeing. In Psalms 139, 7 through 18, it says, God is everywhere presence. We can't get away from God. We can't get away from God. We can't get away from the truth. We can't get away from the principles. We can't get away from the laws of God. Now, Ellen Davenport, in her book, The Five Principles, says, this is right in the very beginning, God may not change, but people do, and we outgrow our old concepts. The ideas about God that we held at 6 will not serve us at 16, and certainly not at 60. Just as children, we may outgrow peanut butter and opt for spicy curries. We can also assimilate more and different ideas about the universe and its workings as we evolve. Instead of changing their thinking, however, too many people simply throw away their belief in a higher power, and with it, the divine guidance and wisdom and comfort that could enrich our lives And I'm not saying that that's what we do, but I certainly know sometimes I forget and I think I know it all. And I think I have to figure it out. I was saying to, I think my husband the other day, I said, I remember when I was 30 and I knew everything. Now I'm 60, I don't know anything. And it's so relieving. You know, it's such a, what a weight. I don't know anything. Thank you, God. So I heard a story about a person going to a church fair. And this person saw a bowl of apples on the table. And next to the bowl of apples, there was a sign that says, take one, just one. God is watching. And a few steps away is a tray of chocolate chip cookies. And there's a little sign written in children's writing. It says, take all the cookies you want. God's watching the apples. So it made me think of, you know, that's another perspective of how God is like a person, right? It's not the truth, but man, I was right there at that chocolate chip cookie tray grabbing as many cookies as I wanted. So, but in my research, I heard a quote that resonated with me so much, which kind of put me on this journey of seeking. And it said, I would rather have questions I can't answer than answers I can't question. And that's what I had as a child, trying to understand what God was and what Christ was and what the Bible was saying. You know, it's just because it's written. Well, that didn't work for me, you know. So I kept seeking and seeking until I came upon, well, first, many, many, many Sundays, my sister and I would go to church, drive to church, grab a bulletin, make sure Mrs. Downer didn't see us, because Mrs. Downer, was my mother's best friend, and she would report back that we weren't in church or that we came in and we just took the bulletin, you know. But we would take the bulletin as evidence that we were in church, and we would drive around and go see stuff and throughout Brantford and stuff. But anyway, then I took an EE workshop called The Essential Experience, which is a very deep personal growth experience, and a play workshop. And at this play workshop, somebody there told me, you have to go to this church. If you want to experience EE every week, go to this church, Hope Church, up in Massachusetts. I'm like, okay, you know, I'll drive an hour and a half to get to church, sometimes 2 hours. And it was amazing, and I did it for years. And that's where I met Carlos Anderson, and that's where I met Crystal Anderson. And that's where, for the first time, I heard that God praised the day I was born. God didn't tell me that I was born with original sin in that church. God praised the day that I was born. And I loved it. And then over the years, it got to be too much to travel up there. I was living in New York, and to drive to Massachusetts was just way out of the question. So I found this church, and the first day that I found this church, many of you know the story, there was a retreat that was going on, and I happened to grab the flyer, and there were only two spots left in the retreat, and I looked at the retreat, and Carlos Anderson was the guest speaker at the retreat, and I once again knew, it like just affirmed my crying and knowing that I was home. It was like, Carlos, I hadn't seen Carlos in like probably 10 years, and I just knew once again that I had found my home. And here, what I heard 13 years ago, that we have a God big enough to travel with us on this spiritual journey. Even when we forget, God is still with us. God is still within us. So take the time to notice, even when you have difficulty seeing good, take time to notice the good and remind yourself that God is here. So many of you know that I have a family member who has been struggling with mental illness. And this week she shared that she's going back on meds. And I was just like, and I every day prayed looking at her picture. And all I would say is, may she be happy, may she be safe, may she be protected, and may she see and think clearly. And I just let it go. And when I spoke to her the other day and she said she was going back on meds, I was like, wow. Of course, I think it's because of my prayer. I have no idea, but I continue to pray, you know. But part of my waking up is to see things from a positive place. And that, for me, also includes when there are places that it's so hard for me to see the positive. I tend to stay away and just pray. Pray for healing for that area. Many, maybe you don't know, but I tend to stay away from the news because some of the news can be too hard for me. So I just pray for the goodness, and I pray because I know that God is there somewhere, and I just continue to pray. And I think of situations and circumstances in my life, and I have to remember God is in these situations. And I remember Sean saying to me about my sister, remember, she's got God too. I was like, yeah, that's right. She's got God too. Or when my friend took his own life, and I was like, in Catholic church, when you take your own life, that's it. You're in a place that you don't want to be for the rest of your life. And Sean said to me, God was with him when he did that. He was doing the best that he could in that moment, and God was with them. And I'm like, wow, that was so helpful for me. So, principle one, God is. Please say that aloud with me.
God is.
Good. Principle two, our essence is of God. Therefore, we are inherently good. This God essence, called the Christ, was fully expressed in Jesus. So in short, it's I am. Another way to say this is human beings are created in the likeness and image of God, and we are inherently good. In John 14:7, one example of this principle in Jesus' words is, if you know me, you will know my Father also. So from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And I want to read the Holy Spirit's interpretation of this verse. What I am, you are also. I am within the Father, and the Father is within me. I am within you, and you are within me. You are within the Father, and the Father is within you. There is no difference among us. There is no difference among us. We are complete and the same. Reality is within us, and we are reality. You know, I have to read those things quite frequently to remember them as I go through my day. So see good even in the things that I want to determine as bad. Recognize the presence of the divine in everything. Know they are doing whatever we are seeing as evil. They are believing somehow that it's good. Somehow that person is believing that that's the best that they can do, and the best that can be done. Our work is to see good and to see God in everything. Help the process of evolving and healing. When we can see that, we're helping ourselves to heal, and we're helping others also. So how do we view ourselves? That's the next question. Do we see ourselves as God? Do we see ourselves as whole? Do we see ourselves as beautiful when we look in the mirror? Because we're God. We are Christ, mind, consciousness. We are children of God, and God does not make junk, right? God does not make junk. Jesus the Christ, he had already achieved his divinity. He was aligned from the power of his divinity. And he said, he told us, whatever I can do, so can you, and even better. So, are you willing to do what Jesus did? Are you willing to meditate and pray the way Jesus prayed? Are you willing to go into silence regularly? Are you willing to see God in all of it? In Romans 8:18-19, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Creation waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. And that's what we're doing, right? We're being revealed every day that we show up and say yes to our God selves, to say yes to that being that said yes to coming here and showing up and being a soul on this planet. You are magnificent, brilliant in your divinity. I have a poem. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it for today, but I will keep looking for it. It's called Divinity, and it just keeps saying over and over lines like that. You are magnificent, brilliant in your divinity. That means you and 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 you. All of us are divine. All of us. So, Now we have God is and I am. So please say that aloud with me. God is, I am. Awesome. Principle 3. We are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. In short, we think and therefore we create. Another way to say this is we create from our thoughts and feelings. So unity is known as practical spirituality. And these next three principles, 3, 4, and 5, are the practical applications that we can use in our daily lives. So we have to become aware of our thoughts. And I got to tell you, the best way to do that is to become mindful and using meditation and using prayer. I don't want to put a plug here, but I am teaching a prayer class starting this week. So we have the law of mind action. Something responds to our thoughts. What is it? It's substance. It's God. It's universal energy. It's love. You might ask, why don't I win the lottery now? Right? How many have thought, I want to win the lottery? Right? We all want to win it. But the substance doesn't respond to that thought right then. It responds to our sum of our thoughts. So it's not just the one thought. It's what we think over and over and over and over again. So if you want to know what you're thinking, look at your life. If you don't like what you're thinking, what you don't like what you're seeing, start looking at your thoughts and how you can change your thoughts. How am I framing what is happy in my life? What does happiness mean to me? If I or you look for the negative, what are you going to find?
Negative.
Yeah. If you look for the positive, what are you going to find? Absolutely. So when you're finding yourself looking for the negative, say, what can I find that's good here? What can I learn from this? Pay attention and choose the awareness of your thinking. Bring more presence of love into your life. We create, promote, and allow what is in our lives. When we accept that our thoughts create our reality, we can make different choices on how we think about things. Virgil of 70 BC, he's an ancient Roman poet, said, mind moves matters. That was from 70 BC. Ralph Waldo Emerson in the 1800s said, great men are they who see that spiritual is stronger than any force and that thoughts rule the world. So it's funny because since I was 12 years old, I knew I did not want to have children of my own. And, you know, as a woman, you have a lot of power and control to, you know, not make that happen, right? So I find myself many years later with these amazing grandchildren. And I said, what a blessing that I got to have grandchildren in my life. And even though I didn't think I wanted to have children, and the thought was, are you ready? The thought was, I'll ruin any child I have because of my fear, because of my thinking, because I want to lock them in a closet until they were 30 years old, you know? So I said, better off I don't have children. So I ended up with a man who has children that I had very little to do with, thank you, God. But now I get to hang out with my grandchildren, and it's awesome. They're so cool. They're so special, and they teach me a lot about how much control I want to have even over them and how I can't have any control over them. For now, it's a double whammy, right? I can't have any control over them. Anyway, so my point is that, you know, we create our reality no matter what we're thinking. And so, you know, I chose a man with children, and now I get to have grandchildren, which is amazing. So we have God is, I am, and I create. So let's say that. God is, I am, I create. So to co-create with God, we need tools. And this is where Principle 4 comes in. Principle 4 is prayer and meditation. By the way, I'm teaching a prayer class starting this week. We align our heart, mind with God, and we use denials and affirmations, which are the tools. And in short, I pray so I am equipped. Another way to see this is our lives can be changed through affirmative prayer and meditation as often as possible. When we forget our divine identity, when we forget who we really are, prayer is the tool to help us remember. Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word said, affirmative prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. And this is what Jesus did regularly. It increases our connection to the divine mind that already lives within us. And practicing quiet allows us to tap into our divine thoughts. Because if we're not quiet, our mind, our thinking mind, will try and figure it out all the time. Because that's what it's supposed to do. It's an intellect. So Jesus said, go into the closet and close the door. Go into the quiet space. Even as the thoughts keep coming, let them pass by and come back to the silence. So this gives us time to cultivate a way of thinking that moves us into a positive experience of living. When we shift the energy from being the victim, we have already created something, but begin now by changing our thoughts to see what will happen next. The mind is like soil, right? Whatever we plant is going to grow. So denials are the weeds that we need to pull out. Well, I should say, by using denials, we're pulling out the weeds. Denials are not denying anything that happened. Denials are denying the power what happened has over us. We get to choose how we're going to see things, right? We get to choose how we're going to handle things. So affirmative prayer and denial can transform any condition in your life. So we have God is, I am, I create, and I pray. Let's say it. God is, I am, I pray, I create. I'm sorry, I did it the wrong way. Sorry. I even have it right here in front of me. You want to do it again? Yeah, let's do it again. God is, I am, I create, I pray. All right. And then five. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we are. In short, I live. Another way to say is knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. Knowing them is not enough, right? A person has to live the truth that he or she knows. Applying these principles, when I hear what is going on in the world, especially in politics, I remember these five principles. I remember to use them practically. They help me with a particular way of seeing life. Knowledge is not enough. Mary Morrissey would say, there's a difference between knowing about something and knowing it. If you are not living it, then you know about it. You don't know it. She also says our biggest problem could be our biggest opportunity. So if we're seeing something as a problem, how can we turn it around to help ourselves heal and use it as an opportunity? What is the obstacle that is in the way of your abundant life, that is in the way of the abundant life that is seeking to be revealed through you? Remember that white stone we had last week? That word that's seeking to be revealed through you. The best chance to be whole is to love whatever gets in our way of our good. Love it until it ceases to be an obstacle. God is the presence of love and is everywhere. What this principle is assuring us of is wherever we look, God is. So do you see God everywhere you look? In your neighbor, in your children, in your pets, in the person who just cut you off on the highway, in the leaders of the country, in other countries? Can you see God in it? Because when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. So don't quit. So we have God is, I am, I create, I pray, I live.
God is, I am, I create, I pray, I live.
Yay, okay. So your homework is to, when you find yourself in that place of forgetting, take a breath and say, what's really happening here? How can I find love in it? Thank you. I see you. I appreciate you. I love you. Know that I'm your sister in prayer, possibility, and power. And until we see each other again, know that you are blessed and a blessing.